In a sense, we have to embrace the contradictions. We have to arrive at a place, or you don't have to arrive at a place, where everything makes sense and nothing makes sense. We're all looking for truth. We're all looking for what is all this? The wonderful thing about being alive and existing in a manifested state is that in the world of the temporal, of time and space, we actually have some access to it. We have some way of observing life and making sense of it. It may not hold up for a long time, but we can bring it down into words like truth, beauty, love. And they actually will create a kind of universal response, like, yeah, yeah. Somehow truth is in all of that. But all of that requires that the world be locked into four dimensions. And all of recent scientific theory tells us there's many more than that. And one of the things that starts to happen when you meditate, when you sit really still, when you really open yourself up to, in a sense, not holding on to anything, those clarities of four-dimensional space begin to dissolve, and nothing really makes sense. And in its not making sense, it's almost more true and more real than what was making sense. But what's really dissolving is not sense, but it's your separation from existence that tries to hold on to sense. As you dissolve, there's nothing there but what is. There's nothing there to interpret what is. There is only what is. So the more we meditate and sit in stillness, and the more we let go and let go and let go, the more of what is reveals itself, but there's no one there to interpret it. It just is happening. And it embraces everything, every possible contradiction. Everything that is right is wrong. Everything that is wrong is right. Everything that is beautiful is ugly. Everything that's ugly is beautiful. Everything that's coming to life is in the process of dying. All of that's going on, and we are in the middle of that. More than that, we are that. There is no us and it. There is just this. Arriving at an awareness of that is sort of what's going on as we unfold spiritually, which is a wonderful thing on some level because it takes away our falsehoods. It keeps robbing us of the things that we believe in that are not true. that we are holding on to that don't support us. We keep being reduced into simpler and simpler and simpler awareness. That's what's happening to us. And if you have an agenda in meditating, and that agenda is to somehow become more and more and more, the funny thing is you'll only become more and more and more by becoming less and less and less. And I know that doesn't make sense on some level, but it really makes total sense to me, to this process of dissolution. The more I, Bruce, dissolves, the more that which is, or is present. And we're all on this journey. Everyone sitting in meditative practice, whether they know it or not, are trying to arrive at this profound awareness. And that awareness takes away everything that makes sense, but gives you shocking clarity. If you pursue meditation with any kind of hunger for truth or what is, you're going to have to let go of everything that gets in the way of that. And primarily that will be you. Everything that's trying to grab hold of and have advantage from knowing can't survive. It will ultimately dissipate. So if your meditation is about some kind of self-aggrandizement, of some kind of stress release, of some kind of holding on to peace and love and truth, if it's that in the core of your being, then the core of your being is going to have to explode away. If what you want from all of this is advantage, you won't get it. But let me put it this way. Advantage will occur, but not for you. It will be there. Advantage meaning you will have a deep, abiding awareness and appreciation for all existence, not because you perceive all existence, but because you are all of existence. You are the totality, and at the same time, you are nothing. How those can occupy the same space is impossible to explain. It's not explainable. But as you start to move deeper and deeper into the depth of this process, that evolving clarity becomes greater and greater. And at the same time, that which is there to grasp it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. So there just is this. In the thisness, everything is possible. Everything. Everything exists. Everything your mind can conjure up, or let's just say, imagination itself can conjure up, is all present tense. Everything exists. Everything is, and nothing is. Birth is death, and death is birth. The infinite vast universe is that small. When you get tired of trying to get what I'm saying, when you get tired of trying to grasp any of this, and you just go, fuck it. That's when you'll start to get it. So I know how disturbing this kind of dialogue is, and I know how so many people want in meditation fairly limited achievement. What most people will come to this for is some kind of ownership of conscious awareness, some ability to go, I get it, I get it. Ah, the aha moment. But if the aha moment occurs, it won't occur for you. It will just occur. It will actually be kind of the last moment of you. Ah. For most people, it's a deathbed moment. Kind of. It's a deathbed moment because that's the moment where there's no choices left. There's no anything left. There's nothing else for you. You realize it's over, done. And there's a kind of like, ah. But from my awareness of things, in no way is that an end to anything. It's just moving on. And in a sense, eternity re-embraces you. You leave the world of time and space into the world of unmanifested reality. And then perhaps you stay there, perhaps you choose to reformulate and be back in time and space. The reason we come back to time and space is it's such a relief from eternity. It's such a much easier place to be. It allows you once again to witness your infinite truth. I think we all want pointers about how do we live our day? How do we get through the week? How do we work with our job and the people we can't stand and the struggles of life and the drama of daily existence? And there are thousands of teachings out there that will tell you how to do that. Thousands of teachings. And they're all probably fine. You know, there are ways to, you know, make people like you. There are ways to advance in your career. All of this stuff is doable, and there are real guideposts for that. And meditation, in a way, offers a guidepost. And the guidepost is follow the inner truth, the inner dream. Follow this thing that is speaking to you deeply inside. You can't follow the thing that's speaking deeply to you if you haven't found the depth. If you're still playing around in the surface of life, which is what you watch most people doing, you make very irrational, erratic choices, and they cause you a lot of grief. By going deep into this place, there is a kind of knowing. There's an amazing place of going, oh, I should do this or that, or it doesn't matter. And there's this extraordinarily beautiful kind of knowing that this is the way to go. And usually you kind of discover that if this thing is serving your evolvement, your spiritual unfolding, it will speak to you very loudly. If it's serving your pleasure principles or your desires, your urge for fame and connection and money and all of the other stuff, love, you know, it will come from a much different space, and it won't necessarily create stillness, clarity, vision, openness, awareness. And a lot of people function without any guiding principle. And therefore, they are making one crazy mistake after another, and life becomes full of karmic propensity. In other words, endless consequence to your choices. And it's a really difficult journey. But meditation will allow you to go deeper and begin to see how to navigate the waters of your life. And that's a wonderful, positive thing. But in the depth of potential for what we are as human beings, of where we can actually evolve, it's kind of meaningless. It's okay. It's fine. Have a good life. Have a nice ride. It's all fine. But it doesn't take you where you can really go in this meditation experience. The real depth of where we can go is beyond having a good job or having a, you know, making lots of money or finding, you know, happiness. It's beyond that. And not that any of that's wrong. Probably all those things will align for you on this ride, because the further you go into yourself, you will start to find that you're making very, very conscious choices that bring you a simpler, clearer, more open, more love-filled awareness of being. It's all wonderful. But trust me, the journey is deeper, it's more profound, it's more real than you imagine. And where it's really taking you is to what Buddha called liberation. And liberation will not answer any of your questions. It will transcend them, if you will. So, my apologies for being perhaps overly philosophical here, or making this appear to be about a mental awareness of things. So many people say to me, well, what about, you know, how do I get along with people at work? They want rather simple answers to things. I think this is the only answer I can give. The only answer I can give. Find the thing inside you that guides you. And it's deep down, it's simple. You have to let go of your ego-minded striving and just find this spacious, simple truth, and it's right there. It's just right there. If you do that, you have a great life, and then you begin to move beyond life as you know it. And you start to see that life is it's a very temporal truth. And there's so much more. So as last week, I'm going to say that's the high point for today. Are there any questions? And please feel free to ask.
A while ago, you said that you weren't, if I heard you right, that you weren't meditating, like you could just sit and be in that state, but you weren't actually meditating in a formal way. And I'm wondering if that's still true, because what you're saying now is like there's, you know, always deeper places to go. So have you started back meditating?
I have, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, after the awakening took place, I thought, well, I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm just trying to be where I am. And trying was even not the right word. Just being where I am. And what was taking place for me was rather a profound work. The work of just being. And accepting the what is when it's not sweet, loving, deep, when it's shallow, superficial, meaningless, and accepting that, really going yes to that, was very profound. But I have come across moments in my life where I need to go deeper. I just need, not just by accepting the what is, but by taking the what is into a place of really resonating clarity. And so I do that. And I have been sitting, not in the way that I prescribed for everybody else, which is every morning at such and such a time, sit and work at it. I just am told at any given moment, take this deeper. Take it deeper. And I just stop. I just stop what I'm doing. And I just... And I use it. And I use it with great gratitude, because it's a practice I was given by Rudy, and it's a practice that really does affect the ability to be in the moment much more effectively and profoundly than just accepting the madness of the surface energy. But I'm telling you, both are important, and knowing when to do one or the other is important. You cannot usually just live in surface tension with total acceptance if you don't have a meditative practice. It's just, you tell people just accept what is, and there's no clue to what that means, and it creates an enormous amount of disturbance, because it's like you're just like being on the water, you know, and you're like moving in every direction and have no destination, and it's not a good excuse me, it's not a good place to end up. If you can do that from a certain kind of awakened perspective, it has incredible teaching value. You just go, I am bobbing in uncharted water. And I have to say that served me and does serve me very well. But every so often I go, I need the North Star. I need to have it. And so I have that capacity. I've had it over the years, and it just deepens the awareness. And that's what happens. It isn't even me kind of doing it as much as it's kind of saying, this is what has to happen. Just go there. Also, I find going to bed at night and sitting still before you go to bed at night, for me, because I was having some trouble sleeping, it just really brought me into this very simple place. So pretty much every night before I go to bed, I sit and go. It's really beautiful, because the second I hit the pillow, I'm gone. You know, I'm just there. And so, I don't want to prescribe for people not meditating or feeling that they have to spend their whole life sitting, except that I told Rudy I would do this every day for the rest of my life. I told him that pretty much first day. And so, even though I haven't formally been sitting since the awakening, I have never informally stopped the practice. It goes on for me pretty much all day long. It's very hard to explain, because it's not an exercise to get anywhere. It's a way to be there. Just to be like, oh, here I am. Awareness, conscious, presence. It's a very extraordinary way to live. And what's happening for me now is what I just call, I guess, unfolding. More and more, deeper and deeper. And I'm always shocked by how deep it keeps going. And it doesn't seem to have any end. It just goes on and on and on, and every life event informs it. Everything seems to purposefully be aligned with my learning. But it's not Bruce learning, because I'm not serving Bruce so much anymore. I'm not one thing anymore. None of us are really. You know, we see through this pair of eyes, but we're actually seeing through all the pairs of eyes. We're one thing. We're one thing. And it's really kind of fascinating. And also, the idea of being one thing is not true, because we're no thing. And that becomes very real. We're no thing. They're nothing. And yet that nothing has eyes. So mystery upon mystery, and vastness upon vastness, and everything just is. I told you earlier, breakfast, I had read this line the other day, which was really meaningful to me. It says, there is no self. Because so much that of my practice has been, you know, finding the self, finding myself, the higher self, source, whatever, all of those ideas, but accepting the idea that there's no self, with whatever that means, gives me enormous freedom. I mean, there's just a sense that there's, like I've said over and over in recent months, there's nothing to hang your coat on or your hat on.
Can I ask a follow-up on that? Mm-hmm. So I was listening to another spiritual teacher who talked about just the field of consciousness, like just letting go. He had a guided meditation to let go, just to be in the field of consciousness, and that's all there is. Kind of. Or I don't even know that he said that's all there is, but he just said.
Well, Nisargadatta talks about consciousness in a really interesting way. He talks about it as being, there's a subject and an object in consciousness. Because there's you aware of something, being conscious of something. And that duality is still not part of what is. I mean, it's part of what is, but it's not... what he describes underlying consciousness is awareness. He says consciousness disappears at the end of the body. The body goes away and there's just awareness, whatever you want to call awareness. But he would call it something other than conscious because it's not you and an it. There's just whatever this is. Again, these are all terms, and all these terms are not going to touch the truth because they're still about some kind of existence of something. And there is and there isn't. So the processing this for the mind doesn't take us very far, except it helps a little bit to understand that as long as you are conscious, you are not, you are separate from, you're still separate from what is. You're still measuring what is, judging it, you know, defining in some way, being aware of what is. And at some point there's no one there to be that. And so you just go, it appears to be about depth, about going deeper and deeper. It also appears to be about lighter and lighter, or freer and freer. And so it just keeps happening. It just, if this thing is going on, and it's almost like it's directional, at some point it's also not directional. It's like it's not aiming at anything, it's just being. So trying to talk about it, I mean, I guess this is really frustrating for a lot of people who are still looking for, you know, what does it mean? But like I said, it's both and neither or either but or, you know, all of the above and none of the above. That's really kind of the answer. And that's unbelievably unsatisfying, but it works in this world, in this limited sphere of existence that we are all alive in right now. But we're only alive in it for a short time. And then we're back into the other. And the moment you leave this world and the other starts to reabsorb you in a way, consciously, I believe, you know, you start to get, you're back on a journey. That is, I think I've said a number of times before, when it first arrives, you go, oh, this again. Oh, this again. And you get tastes of it, you know, in life. You get tastes of it in meditation. You get tastes of it with certain kinds of drugs. You know, you get... Oh yeah. This the return to the infinite, the return to the eternal is a very real experiential thing. But everything I say about it is under temporal constraints. You know, it's a way of looking at it, but it's not the thing itself. And until the thing itself occurs, it's just words. And when it does occur, there will come a moment for you when you start to face it and go, oh yeah, where you either go kind of yes or no. Go, take me, or no, I'm not ready. Those are the kinds of things that people do. Yes, it's got to be, you got to throw the switch very quickly. Yes. Or you go like that. And the entire ride that follows that is based on how you respond. And so learning to be able to say yes to the clear light of reality, which Tibetans say for most people lasts that long, is a real technique in a way. But it's also how did you live your life? You know, are you an embrace of that? So when it comes, it's not like a total shock to the system. But I think for most people, it's like, well, like, oh, this again, and then sudden realization of how unprepared you are for this again. I used to describe it like telling you, here's your ticket to Outer Mongolia, you're leaving in 2 minutes, or in 1 minute. And you go, but I have to get my bags, I've got to tell people I'm leaving, I've got to, you know, hold the mail. Like, nope, you're going. So, one should take care of business. One should take care of everything in one's life. Simple things, you know, tell everybody you love that you love them.